This is The Business Breakfast with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.
Very good morning to Craig Earlham from Owanda. So I think as you were noting yesterday, talk's back on, but, you know, we could have written this, couldn't you, really? It's just like a drama that we've seen 100 times before. Do you feel as though there are any more constructive noises coming out?
There are, but I think that's all part and parcel of how this is kind of moving now. I mean, the political theatre around Brexit has been there for 4 years. Nothing we've seen recently is entirely surprising. I think the only difference is now they know they're coming to an end and both sides want to be seen to be being more assertive. Both sides want to be seen to be almost dominant or at least an equal. And I think both sides want to be seen to be getting the better end of the deal. And that means forcing concessions from the other in these final areas. And I think to an extent both sides have kind of pushed things a little bit too far, and I think feel like that's almost what led to the breakdown in talks. The PR is very important if you are Boris Johnson or if you are Brussels. You want to ensure that the message reads around the rest of Europe: if you leave the EU, you are not going to be better off, and you are you're not going to get an easy ride. Equally, if you are the UK, you want to be seen, you want the PR to say, well, we've made a success of Brexit, we've got the best deal we possibly can, and now it's time to move on with our lives as an equal partner, an equal sovereign with the EU. And sometimes the kind of brinkmanship that we've seen in around this has meant that both sides have kind of lost face. So this is kind of a reset button, I feel like, the moves that we've seen over the last couple of days, the commentary that we've seen. Ultimately, it's all irrelevant and it seems very petty, but it at least means that these talks can continue. And I think almost everyone expected that to be the case.
From what you're saying, I'm taking it that you don't think that there will be any particular constructive and easily to identify, if I can put it like that, sorry about the clumsy words, but on the key areas like, for example, state aid, fishery, and most important, financial services.
This is a negotiation. I think you go into a negotiation with your starting point, your starting hand. This is what we want from this. And you always have in mind where you're happy for these to end up. And I don't think anything's changed on that front. I think both sides have known that they are going to have to compromise at some point. I think the point in setting a deadline was to ensure that that happened quicker rather than dragging out. But it doesn't actually change how this process moves. It just changes the speed with which it does so. And I think we're now reaching the point where these compromises are made. We see this every single time there's a negotiation. Every single time when we're talking about the withdrawal agreement, whether we're talking about non-Brexit issues, it's always around these deadlines where the core issues, the difficult to negotiate issues, where we see those kind of compromises. We don't see them any earlier. So I don't feel like this is going any differently than normal. The only obviously difference is that it's very public. It's being very publicly driven because Brexit is such a contentious and political issue. And I think that's the only reason why we are seeing it kind of move in this way. I think we're not really seeing anything different to what we would typically see behind closed doors.
Coming up then at the weekend, more lockdowns and all the rest of it, which we just announced in the news. I suspect a lot more angry discussions as well, particularly, well, locally, amid people who are those who can actually meet will be saying to themselves, I'm not sure about these scientists. I'm not sure about politicians. They've taken a lot. They haven't made any judgments about this. They've just been reacting to what the scientists have said. And the scientists don't speak with one voice in any case. I don't know about you. I'm mystified by it all.
I think we're all mystified by it all, but equally, I don't think any of us are envious of the position that these scientists and the governments are around the world are in. None of us would want to be making a decision, would want to be making the trade-off between saving people's lives and saving people's businesses, saving people's jobs, saving people's livelihoods. These are all extremely important things, and it's very easy to say, well, ultimately, lives matter most, but try explaining that to the people who are hard up as a result, who see their businesses go under, a perfectly legitimate business model crumble overnight because of the devastating effects of effectively closing the economy. So it's always easy to criticise. It's always easy to pick holes in many of these. And I'm not sitting here suggesting that the government has done particularly well throughout this pandemic. It's made plenty of mistakes, as have many governments around the world. But I think it's very easy to sit in our positions and criticise.
I give you that, certainly. But at the same time, what's happening is that scientists in particular particular, who have, because their civil servants have no skin in the game. The only skin in the game they have is their reputations. It's nothing to do with whether they will always have a job because they work for the civil service. We're going to be talking later in the programme about small businesses and the actual backbone of where the money comes from in this country. My point is, yes, we can sit and criticise these people because they are... All they're doing, it seems to me, is they may be offering a little bit of science, but they aren't mentioning the fact that what they're doing is protecting their own backgrounds, protecting their own reputations. This is what you get if you bring scientists and specialists abroad, don't you?
Oh, and this is where the role of the government comes into this. The scientists are there to create the models to tell the government what will happen, well, what they believe will happen if X, Y, and Z does continue as it is. They don't have any skin in the game as far as the economy is concerned. If you sat Boris Johnson on a podium and you had two economists next to him, they would tell you what the economic consequences of this would be with very little consideration for what the toll on the NHS and people's livelihoods on life would be. So this is what makes the job so difficult, is that Boris Johnson has to take what the scientists say and has to look at the modelling, has to look at the approach which he's been given by them, has to take this advice, but then also has to heed the advice of economists and other people who have to focus on other areas. And then you've got the other aspect as well, which is the mental health implications of lockdowns and restrictions. There's a lot of information which you have to take into consideration, one of which, and a very important part, is obviously the science. But again, a lot of this science is predictions, it's modelling based on what we know about the coronavirus, which is very different from what we knew 6 months ago and may be very different again from what we know 6 months from now.
The UK spending review, the usual three-year thing which we're used to, has now been postponed. A lot of backlash towards the Chancellor because of this. I'm just wondering what he could have said. I don't see how you can make any predictions these days, and 3 years must be an impossible kind of thing. What do you feel about the postponement of it? Are you missing anything?
It doesn't bother me in the slightest, if I'm honest, and I think it's kind of faux uproar. I think people wanting the Chancellor's kind of to commit to this, to almost act as if nothing else, everything else in life is normal, and therefore this should be too. I feel like it's just asking a bit much. We're still right in the middle of a pandemic. We're going into a winter period that we don't know how bad it's going to be. We just know it's going to be bad. Every day he seems to be adjusting the support which is being offered to businesses, to households, etc. The rules are changing in terms of the restrictions. So I think ultimately the Chancellor's focus is and should be on the here and now and being reactive, trying to preempt much of what is happening, trying to give as much support to businesses and households as possible, but being extremely reactive to the evolving landscape that we are seeing. And I think navigating through the next 6 months is by far and away the most important job that he has. So for me, this self-pull spending review nonsense just isn't as important as it's being made out.
And finally, I just want to talk to you very briefly about a bigger subject, which is China and the move to the East. And so the IMF is downgrading Asia's growth prospects, apart from, of course, China, which appears to have shrugged off the mantle of everything and is now motoring ahead. Do you get that kind of feeling about China very briefly? And do you also worry about it? Are you happy about it because it's an export market? What do you feel?
China grew 4.9% in the last quarter, and it seems that they're going to be effectively driving the recovery across Asia next year. Much of the rest of the region is still going to be struggling, but many of these markets are export markets. So while China can continue to grow and it's the domestic consumption and demand is returning, and we are seeing a lot of infrastructure spending, a lot of stimulus within China to ensure that we get these kind of growth rates, you can't grow alone. Like, this is a very interconnected world. So if the demand and from Europe and the US, etc., is falling, then it is going to take its toll on these export markets, and it seems to be taking its toll more heavily on countries outside of China, but it will ultimately take its toll on China as well.
Craig Earlham, thank you very much indeed.
The Business Breakfast on Jazz FM with Owanda. Online trading, currency data, money transfers.